Thank you for that song, Miss Donna. It was good. It's good to see you back in the house of the Lord this morning. We've been missing you. We've been missing a lot of folks. It's good to look around and see everybody that's here. It's good to see you. It's good to see such a number in the choir. Young people, we appreciate you all getting up here and helping, man. It's good to see others that are willing to come up. So thank you. We do intend, and probably next Sunday, get back to having some choir practices. And you know, we're kind of in the middle with our music. We're going to do this. We're going to go to the left and to the right. We're going to get some of the new, and we're going to get some of the old. That's really what I'd like to do. I told Miss Becky I'd like to get some of these four-part harmonies in the front of this red book and see if we can learn them and get y'all to sing with us. And then we got some praise and worship music that we want to look at also as a combination. You know, what we want is this. This is my heart's desire. Everything you do, do it for the honor and glory of God. You know, I'm one of those people, and I know some of you are going to think this is peculiar, but I can go and watch Primitive Quartet and have a good time. And the next day, go watch the Newsboys. I know that's not for everybody. I've seen the Newsboys live, and I've seen the Primitive Quartet live, heard their testimonies. And I heard Michael Tate give his testimony, and he talked about his dad. He talked about why he did what he did, why he sang that music. And he said his dad was a soul winner. And I can remember this. I actually taught Sunday school on this not long after I heard him give his testimony. He said, my dad told me, he that winneth souls is wise. Now that's a verse out of your book. And here's the point. What you do for the Lord, do it for the Lord. And if God puts you in a position that you can reach somebody and help them, then help them. Now, there is some of it I'm not too crazy about. Heard a preacher one time said he was going to preach at a youth rally. He said, I got there, he said there were thousands of teenagers. He said, I couldn't wait. He said, this group got up that like to drove me crazy. I'm sitting over arguing with God about why I'm here having to listen to this music. And he said, God just showed me. He said, look at the table that I have prepared for you. You get up and do what I've called you to do. You know, you may not be able to reach everybody. I may not be able to reach everybody. But you have a testimony, and your testimony is important. Well, what do you tell them? Here's what you tell them. Tell them what God has done for you. If you got your Bible this morning, we're going to be reading out of the book of Genesis. It's going to be very few simple verses I want to read. But before we do, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for those in the church that are serving and those that work. I mean, there are people that have continued and have to continue right on through this past year, such a difficult year. And I say year, it's almost a year. If you look at March to March, when we've been dealing with pandemic and changes in our church, you know, it's been a long time, but it's taken a lot of faithfulness from people, especially working up at the sound booth, faithfulness from our deacons, and faithfulness for those working in our children's church. And so I want to say thank you. Things are going to get better. We are going to get back to being able to enjoy some of the things that we enjoy, the things that I miss, that you miss. And I also want to say thank you for giving. God has blessed the church. Not every church has even made it through this pandemic. There are some churches that have completely shut down. I was speaking to a gentleman yesterday, and he was telling me about a series of churches up in North Carolina where there are multiple churches that are without a pastor because the pastors have gotten discouraged. They don't know what to do, and they just basically have thrown in the towel. So let's pray for those churches and pray for those denominations and those congregations of people. See, those are God's children. And if you understand when you read the word, it's like they're sheep without a shepherd. And, you know, we need to be able to bring one another together, to love one another, to help one another, encourage one another. So thank you for your continued giving and support of the church. Because everything that we do here, we do want to do it for the honor and glory of the Lord. You can give by going on to our website and giving through PayPal. Or you can also give by sending into our P.O. box. I mean, we quit passing the offering plate back in March of 2020, but we take up offering going out the door. But I will tell you that God is blessed, and we're so thankful that God is blessed. You know, a lot of people say, well, what are we going to do? When are we going to get started building? In God's perfect time, This church is still in a building program. We've just been hit with a pandemic, okay? It's going to change things a little bit, but God in the meantime has blessed us, and he continues to bless us. And what we want to do, what I want to do, is whatever God wants until Jesus comes. Because until Jesus comes, there are going to be people that will need Jesus. There are going to be people that will need help. There are going to be people that will need to be saved and accept Christ as their Savior. But there are going to be people that will need to be encouraged and people that will be brought into a family. You know, I feel very strongly that the people of God, the church of God, is a family, okay? We have people that are our, we call them our blood because, you know, it's a brother, it's a sister, it's an aunt. But if you stop and think about it, we all come from God. And the first ones he created was Adam and Eve, and he told them to go forth and replenish and multiply the earth. So we're all descendants. It's one blood that we all came from, and it's one blood through Jesus that we can be saved. If you got your Bible, let's go over to Genesis chapter number 8. And I want to read just a few verses. I'm actually going to read the first five verses. I've got the first verse here that I gave them upstairs, but I want to speak on this subject this morning, the other side of the storm. And I want to read this, but I want you to be thinking about that as we move forward. It says in Genesis chapter 8 in verse number 1, it says, "And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a great wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged or lowered. And fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped. And the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the Mount of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month of the first day of the month were the tops of the mountains seen." And I want to talk for just a little bit about the other side of the storm, and I want to give you just some thoughts. I mentioned just a little bit ago that storm that's going through out in Texas. You know, they typically get ice out there, not necessarily snow and like you would in the north, but they get some ice storms. The one that they've gotten recently is not the norm. Some of us have been through storms that really aren't the norm. As I sat today over here listening to the choir sing, and I looked around at the people in the choir and knowing a lot of the storms that some of you have been through, I went person after person after person after person. And in each life, I could see something that you've had to deal with, some form of difficulty, some storm in your life, some trouble. And I thought about it. I thought about the man who told me that for 2 days without power in sub-zero weather, they just sat huddled by the fireplace. Now, folks, I don't do well with snow days. I don't do well anytime I'm confined. But sometimes in our life, we face storms and we find that confinement. We find that we can't get out and do the things that we'd like to do. You know, I think about the storm that my dad went through in his life. My dad was diagnosed with COPD at 49 years old, and actually I think about 48. By the time he was 49, he was disabled. A pastor, a preacher, a man that had always worked and took care of his family. And I saw him become confined. I saw him get to the point physically when they would have a work day at church. He wanted to be there so bad that he would go down to the church and he would have them bring him a straight back wooden chair out in the yard, and he would sit in the chair and watch them just so he could be there. He wanted to work and he couldn't work. Reminds me of times that I've actually sat and counseled with people and celebrate recovery, and you think, well, if they could do this or they should do that. I remember sitting with a man, and I was trying to talk to him, and I was trying to get him to talk and really to be able to understand what his needs were. And this man, with emotion and passion, looked at me, and he said, "I just wish I could work." But his body wouldn't let him anymore. I can remember watching my dad on, it wasn't a snow day, it was a day like today. He said, I just wish I could take care of my family again. I just wish I could go to church again. He wanted to go. You know, sometimes the storms come in our life. What comes after the storm? If we look at this scripture in Genesis chapter 8, verse 1, here's what it said. God remembered Noah. See, it had been 40 days of rain, a storm like no man has ever seen. The rain came from above, but the scripture says that the fountains of the deep opened up. What does that mean? That means water came up out of the ground as the plates broke apart and the earth broke apart and the earth began to flood. It was flooding from above and it was flooding from beneath. Earthquakes. Then there's the waiting. You know, when I think about Noah being in the ark for 40 days and 40 nights, and I can't hardly stand it if it snows and I can't drive to work one day. In there, in that ark with those animals, hearing the noise and the wind as it roared on the outside of the ark, and no doubt as the ark began to move. The waves begin to splash and the boat begin to rock. During the waiting, and this is what's difficult sometimes for a Christian, and I know from experience, it's the waiting that is sometimes the most difficult time in our lives, as we're waiting and we're waiting for God to do something. God, what's going to happen next? God, where are you? God, what are you going to do? It's a place that you don't want to be. The inconvenience. Then there's the uncertainty. You know, no doubt is even Noah and his family, they're inside the ark. Dealing with the uncertainty, there's the fear. Now, if you read the scripture and you understand it, and we can't read 4 or 5 chapters this morning, but you can read and understand what it said about Noah, that he was a just man. Scripture says in the 6th chapter and the 6th verse that he was perfect in his generations and he walked with God. He had 3 sons. But even being a good man and a just man, there was uncertainty and there's fear. And you know, sometimes in our lives, when you're the leader like Noah was, there are a lot of questions that come. There's questions from the son, there's questions from the family. Are we going to be okay? We've been in here a long time. I'm hearing noises. What's going to happen to us? And the time. You know, certainly I believe that one thing that is required for the grace of God to work is it takes time. It takes time in our life because even when we go through the storms and we go through the difficulty, God's grace is there and it comes at different times for different people, but sometimes you got to wait. And can I tell you, I can't stand to wait. I want it to be fixed. I want it to be fixed today. God, I'm willing to follow you, but I need to know right now. Give me the answer. And all God's saying is wait. See, they were 40 days and 40 nights with the rain and the storm, but that wasn't the end. It was 150 days that they were there until they saw the tops of the mountains. That's a long time. Sometimes in our lives, and we go through things, and we don't like to go through things, and I understand. We don't like going through the difficulties, the pains, the troubles of dealing with the challenges and the loss. Sometimes it's not just the loss, it's waiting on the loss to come. You know, Kendra and I have dealt with loss in our life that's come quickly, but we've also dealt with loss that took a lot of time. We've dealt with the loss of a loved one when you get the call and it's immediate and the shock and the pain and the terror is there. We've also dealt with it when it takes 10 years to when the first time you go see them, They may not remember your name. Or maybe they remember her, but they didn't remember me. It's kind of funny, but it's not funny when they say, "Hey, Kendra, who's that guy you brought?" Until they get to the point that they can't remember anything. But you remember them. And I want to tell you this, and I'm going to move on. God hadn't forgot them. God remembered Noah. You see, sometimes it's the waiting. Sometimes it's the uncertainty. Sometimes it's just the time that we don't want to have to deal with. But I want us to understand as we look at this story and we apply it practically to our life, storms come in every life. And being a child of God does not exempt you to the storms, because storms come in the lives of God's people. Sometimes those storms are sovereignly initiated. That God knows about it and He sees it, and He puts us in this place and He puts us there for a reason. But sometimes also, and we need to understand this, storms are self-inflicted. And we need to understand the difference so that we don't blame God for the situations that we find ourselves in because of disobedience, because of not being willing to listen to the voice of God when He speaks to us. Sometimes people struggle with blaming God for things that God has nothing to do with. Regardless, storms are hard to understand, and we question. Sometimes I question, why do good things happen? Or why do bad things happen to good people? And one thing I've learned as I've gotten older in my Christian walk and older naturally is sometimes the farther you walk, the less you know. So I've had people come up to me and say, "Well, you've been serving the Lord a while. What about this?" Here's what I've learned. You got to learn how to trust God. There are times in our lives when, as a deacon or as a friend, and every one of you are counselors, by the way, whether you want to be or not, you're a Christian, you're saved, and God's going to put you somewhere where you're going to need to be able to help somebody. That's what mission work is. We can do it there, we can do it here. Sometimes I don't have the answers. Sometimes what you just got to do is love people. Sometimes you got to look at them and say, "I don't know the answer, but God does." The message this morning is the other side of the storm, and the question is, what will we have when the storm is over? Here's something I know about storms. Storms stop. Hurricane Katrina went through Louisiana, and it tore it all to pieces, but it passed. And what's amazing about a storm like that, or a storm like the one that's hit Texas, is when it goes through, the next week you have some of the prettiest weather you've ever seen. You see, storms stop. They're temporary. They pass. And as the scripture says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And if you understand and you look at this scripture, there are key verses as God speaks concerning Noah. If you go to the 6th chapter in the 8th verse, it says, "But," as God looks at the earth and He looks at the sin, it said, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." In the 8th chapter in the 1st verse, it says, "And God remembered Noah." If you go to the 9th chapter in the 1st verse, what comes after the storm? It says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons." Four facts about this story that I want you to see. They all made it through the storm. All of them that were in the boat. Stay in the boat. If you're in a storm and you're facing difficulty or trouble in your life, and you hear the roars and the wind and the storm and the rain, stay in the boat. You see, the boat did not sink. And they made it God's way. When the boat was built, God told them how to make it. He told them what to do. And when they went in, the door was shut. God sealed them in. Stay in the boat. And what I want you to see, if you look at a little bit about this story in the ark did not come to rest in a desert place. It came to rest high on Mount Ararat. And here's what I want you to see understanding this story. This Ararat represented resurrection ground. God had a plan for Noah. He had a plan for Noah's sons. He had a plan for the future. Romans chapter 8, verse number 28 says this, that we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I've heard it like this, and I once did this little experiment in a Sunday school class. It's kind of hard to do it in here. But I brought in, of course, I used to teach. I had a table in front of me. I didn't teach much from a podium. I had too much stuff. But I brought in a mixing bowl, and I had flour, and I had eggs, and I had lard, and I had butter, and I had sugar, and I had vanilla flavoring. Anybody ever drank vanilla flavoring? I wouldn't recommend it. It's like eating a green persimmon. Unfortunately, I know about both. But as I had the ingredients there, nobody wants to take a mouthful of flour. Certainly, nobody wants to take a bite of the lard. And the vanilla flavoring by itself is very bitter. But as I offered these things to the class and I began to spread them around the room, there weren't any takers, not even for a spoonful of sugar. But as I began to add the ingredients and I began to stir, you know what it took to make cake? It took all the ingredients and it took time and it took pressure. Brother Allen and I sometimes have a conversation about our relationship with God, and we talk a little bit about time, and we talk about pressure. Because I heard a preacher say one time, a very wise man, he said, three things make a minister: prayer, meditation, and he said, suffering. Three things make a Christian: prayer, meditation, and suffering. That's the storm. And if you take the ingredients and you put them in a bowl and you begin to stir them and you see them begin to blend and you see the flour mixed with the sugar and the lard begins to bring it together and the eggs begin to bind it and the vanilla flavoring, I ended up with a ball of stuff. All of a sudden, people wanted a bite. You know, these kids eat cookie dough ice cream. Do you know what's in cookie dough? Everything I just said. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. It doesn't mean that God causes it all. It's not God's fault. But if you're saved by the grace of God, the scripture says that he who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God has not left you. God's got a plan for you on the other side of the storm. Three things God did not do. God did not fail Noah. You see, the Lord did not say, go in. He said, come in. What I'm about to tell you is tough for me, but it's true. Because I want to tell you, I have storms and trials in my life. And as I looked at the choir this morning and I went down the aisles, I thought every person has got something that they're going through. See, God's saying to us, I was here before you ever got here. And what's out in front of you, I'm already there. There's a song that Casting Crowns sings. And some of you may know about it. It's not one of their more popular songs. But the name of the song is He's Already There. I like that song. He's already there because, you know, he walks with us through the storm and he's already there. It's like when they got in the boat and the disciples were there and Jesus was in the ship and he said, let us go to the other side. You see, God's going to be with you as his child all the way till you make it to glory. You see, the Lord shut him in the ark And if the Lord shuts the door, no man can open it. If the Lord opens the door, no man can shut it. Can I tell you, there are times that I'm praying in the midst of a storm and I say, God, we need you to do something because we cannot do it ourselves. Have you ever prayed that way? God, I need you to move this mountain. God, I need you to open this door. God, I need you to calm this storm. God, I need you to work in our lives. See, God did not fail Noah. Number two, God did not forsake Noah. You see, God rode with them. God provided what they needed to make it through the storm. You see, there was provision in the ark. Why? Why was there provision in the ark? It was because they had followed God's direction in building the ark God's way and putting the things in the ark that God wanted in the ark. Now, folks, I wouldn't want to ride in a smelly ark. 40 days of rain, storm, trouble, 150 days of waiting. I can't stand that. But sometimes, whether we can stand it or we like it or not, and you say, well, I just can't take anymore. I've learned not to say that. I've learned I'm not opening my mouth. Rather than saying I can't do anymore, I can't take another thing, I say, God, I won't make it if you don't help me. I need you, Lord. And he shows up. See, God didn't fail Noah. He didn't forsake Noah. And God did not forget Noah. Remember, Scripture says that God remembered Noah. Now let's consider what happened. Three things were found on the other side of the storm. If you look at Genesis chapter 8 and verse number 11, they sent out a dove. It says, and the dove came in to him on the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. Number one thing was on the other side of the storm was a place of peace. You ever been in a storm and you say, God, I need you to, you know, send me a sign. Send me something, Lord. Speak to me, God. Could you imagine being the leader, Noah, the leader of the family, as the dove came to rest and had that little leaf in his mouth? How encouraging that would have been just that day. You know, sometimes we look for big things. Sometimes it's not big things, it's little things, but it's little things when you hear the voice of God speak to you. See, the dove, it represents peace. And the dove with the olive leaf means the storm is over, the water is receding, and there's new life ahead of you. You see, what God wants for every person in every storm and every loss and every trial is he wants you to know that as long as you're on this earth, you're his child, he has a plan for you. Because sometimes after coming through a storm, you simply need peace. There's an old song in the Red Book. It says, take my hand, precious Lord. Lead me on. Let me stand. Through the storm, through the night. Take my hand, precious Lord. You see, it's a place of peace. It's also, I want you to see, what's found on the other side of the storm is a place of worship. Yes, worship. You know, sometimes we question God, sometimes we don't understand the storm, but he's God and we're not. And when we're ready to receive his grace and open up our hearts to him, he'll make a way. And in the 20th verse, it says, Noah builded an ark unto the Lord. And when you understand the first law of mention in the Bible, the first things mentioned, I want you to see some things. The principle is found when Abel offered his sacrifice, but the word is first found in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 20. And the word altar in Hebrew simply means to lift up. You see, the ground had a curse on it. And the altar lifted up the sacrifice. You see, it's time for us to give thanks to God and to worship. Worship in the midst of our trial. Worship in the midst of our storm. Worship in the midst of our circumstance. Because no matter what we go through, no matter what we face, He is God, and that's something that we can celebrate. Now, folks, it'd be a lot different to go through these storms of life. And this is what I don't understand about people. You go through the storms of life, the trials of life, just to die and it be over. That your life meant nothing. I don't understand how an atheist gets out of bed. Nothing they do matters. But for you and I as the children of God, everything matters because we worship a living God. And when I'm in my storm, He's with me. When I'm in my trial, He's with me. And understanding that and knowing who He is, here's what happens in our life. The Bible says to draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. I'll tell you something that happens in the life of a Christian that goes through the storm. They keep their eyes on God. Through this storm and through this understanding, Job said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye hath seen thee for myself. And you come into an intimate place with the Almighty that sometimes only comes through walking through a storm. You also find a promise, and I like this. Genesis chapter 9 and verse number 13. Jesus is looking down, He speaks to Noah, and He says, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. Now folks, I don't know about you, but every time I see a rainbow, I don't think about the reflection and the prism and what scientist whatever says it comes from. Folks, water is H2O. What's that, hydrogen 2 oxide or something like that? Some of y'all know more about that than I do. What does that mean? I don't care what that means. God made it. It's water. Amen. He made a rainbow. Amen. He's given us everything that we need. And when I see the rainbow in the clouds, I remember what the Word of God said, that God made a promise, and God's promises will not be broken. And we know the Bible says the elements will melt with a fervent heat. That's coming. That's another thing. But when I read the Word of God and I see what God said, He said, I remember you, Noah, but He gave the rainbow to you and me to say, church, my people, I remember you. And I'm not going to forget you. You see, God's promises will not be broken. Now remember how all this started. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8 said this, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to tell you what I need in my life. I need grace. I need grace. I need God's grace in the midst of my storm. I need God's grace for my life. I need God's grace when I'm in that storm. Now, I want to tell you something. I've told Kendra, if I'm sick, folks, I'm not a good patient. I need grace. She needs grace. 40 days in the ark, I would need grace because she'd be ready to kill me. You ever felt like you just needed grace? You just needed God to move on you in such a way that you could feel His peace and His presence and He would settle down. The outward storms, let's just be real, come to inward storms. And inside of us, we begin to be in turmoil. And we need to be able to be settled in our spirit and understand that God is real, God is there, and this storm's going to pass. There will be another side of the storm. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says this, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What I want you to understand, Christian, child of God, is that God has not and he will not quit on you. You see, the Bible teaches, and it teaches this in principle and truth, that if God has led you to it, he will lead you through it. You see, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and in finding grace, it created a lot of work for Noah. Because Noah had to build an ark. He had to go and he had to work 120 years finding wood, bringing it in, pitching it within and without. He had to be obedient and he had to listen and do things the way God wanted them. Now, God began to work, and I can just about imagine, why in the world would these two animals want to migrate across the country? You ever seen the birds flying north to south? But could you imagine sitting there and here's an ark, and all of a sudden you look out and here comes two giraffes? I'm going to have to cut a hole in the second floor for the head. Oh, there's two zebras coming. And people are saying, what's going on? Noah says, God's sending them. By finding grace in the eyes of the Lord doesn't mean you're without requirement. We're not saved by our works, but the Bible says that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Had to be obedient. You see, if God leads you to it, he'll lead you through it. If God has something that he wants done, he's going to make a way for it to be done. See, Noah found grace. The storm came and God remembered him. And then the ninth chapter in the first verse, it said, and God blessed him. He blessed him with peace. And he built an altar and he worshiped. Now, I think what you and I need to do is, Miss Donna comes and gets ready to sing a song that I've asked her to sing. Sometimes what we need to do is recognize who God is. People in this world need God. This America needs God. Our youth, our older people, our middle-aged people, they need God. How are you going to make it without God? What's your plan without God? What are you going to do with your life? Well, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do that. Then what? What really matters? What are you going to do when you stand before God? She sings this song. I ask you to rise to your feet. And if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior and you'd like to just come and pray and talk to God, you can do that. Somebody will be glad to pray with you. If you've been going through a storm and you just want to come and talk to God, you can do that. That's what Noah did. I can just about see him as he built that altar and he knelt down beside it. And he said, God, it's been rough. It's been rough 150 days. But God, I want to thank you for that olive leaf. God, I want to thank you for this dry ground. God, I want to thank you for bringing my family through this storm. Sometimes we just need to thank God for his blessings. Amen. If you'd like to pray as she sings, would you please come?